Welcome to Stirring the Pot. I'm Linda Nygaard, and I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes. I hope you can take a bit of time, pull up a chair, and join us as my guests and I chat about all things food. From food history and culture, to recipes, to kitchen stories that include both successes and failures, along with, I hope, a heaping portion of humor. Today's guests are Christy Marsh. Hi, Christy.
Hi, Linda. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you for coming. And her sister, Lori Carlander. Hi, Lori.
Hi. So good to be here.
I'm glad you're here. So today we're going to talk about, I just said Christy and Lori are sisters, and they have been canning together for a long time. I'll let them tell you about that in a little bit. But since it's the season of beautiful produce on Vashon, gorgeous apples, everything we have here, and it's time to can. And I know very little about canning, and so we're going to talk about that in a minute. First, however, I would like to encourage you to email me, please. I'm always looking for new ideas. I like to keep the show Vashon-centric, and I'm sure that you must know a secret cook in a secret kitchen somewhere doing something wonderful. And you can find me at stirringthepot@voiceofvashon.org. And I'd love to hear from you. Suggestions, complaints, you know, the complaint department's down the hall, but you can complain if you want to. So let's get down to it, girls.
Alrighty then.
Hi, I'm glad to see you. So let's talk a little bit about your background. I know that you are originally a Midwest family.
From Indiana.
From Indiana. And tell me about your family history there. Who wants to take that?
Christy
does. Lori. Okay.
Well, both sides of our family moved into Indiana in the mid-1800s, and they came from Germany mainly, and also from England. And that's all we ever knew as far as growing up was that Midwestern type cooking, lots of canning, lots of meat and potatoes, gravy, yes, comfort food all the way. And both of us, since we were the oldest of five children, we spent a lot of time in the kitchen with our mother.
Oh, I bet you did.
We were her main help, basically, and she taught us an awful lot of things about cooking.
I bet she did. And you had a grandmother there, did you not, who was a canner?
Yes. Our Grandma Opal, and we didn't know Grandma Doris because she died before we were born, but she did a lot of canning too for her five sons.
Oh, is she, and did she have a root cellar? Is
she or the no, other Grandma Opal, no. Our mother's mother.
Tell that story about the...
Well, Grandma Opal lived on Lindley Street in Huntington, Indiana, and she had a very old house that was built back in the early 1920s. Mm. It was just one story, but she did have a root cellar. It was kind of just sawed on the side.
Was it spooky down there?
It was very, very scary, spidery, and very rickety stairs going down. And she had shelves built along the side of the cellar and just lined and lined with cans of food that were just really, really dusty because she had stopped canning as soon as the 1960s hit, where you could buy the package.
You could get everything.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that happened to a lot of people, but the good news is canning is starting to come back now, and people are looking at ways to save money and ways to feel good in the kitchen, you know? And
it's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. I've done it a little bit. My canning is peaches a long time ago, and every year I make jams and jellies. Every year but this year. I haven't done it this year, so I might later. Yeah, there's time, and it's a chore, but it's a lot of fun if you have somebody to do it with. So your journeys, both of your journeys, eventually through circuitous routes ended up on Vashon.
Yes.
And Lori, how long did you live on Vashon? Or when did you come here?
I moved here in 1980 and just moved off the island last year after 38 years.
Wow.
So I really miss it.
I bet you do.
I miss her too.
Yeah, I bet you do. Well, at least you're in Port Orchard and you're not too close. That's good. And you ended up living in some really interesting places, Christy, with a fishing husband.
Yes, my first husband was a commercial fisherman. And after Well, it's a long story, but anyway, my first husband was a commercial fisherman and he fished out of Blaine Harbor.
I don't know if everybody knows where Blaine Harbor is.
Well, if you know where Birch Bay is, mm-hmm. it's just north of there.
Okay.
Yes, so it's Boundary Bay, and he would catch salmon with his skipper, Mindy Einarsson, who was from Iceland. Only was able to go out on the fishing boat once uh-huh. when Mindy wasn't there, because in that day, women were considered bad luck on fishing boats.
You know, are they still?
I don't know.
They always name boats after women, so
yes,
never understood that.
I don't either.
I don't either. And so you had a firsthand effort at canning salmon.
Yes.
Before you went there, did you know how to do that?
I had no idea even how to fillet a salmon. So I was doing all of that. I was scaling the fish mm-hmm. and filleting them, canning them. And in those days, that was 42 years ago, mm-hmm. I was doing that in a water bath.
Mm.
Now they're discouraging that because of botulism. I guess we just got lucky and never had any problems with it. But nowadays they use pressure canners to do it.
Right. I think USDA recommends for meats.
Mm-hmm.
Fish.
Meats and fish, mainly things that are not high in acid. Yeah. It's best to use if they're high in acid, it's okay to use a water bath, like mm-hmm. tomato sauces and things that are high in sugar, jams,
right.
jellies, that sort of thing. So
when you're canning salmon, is it already cooked? Do you can it raw? Do you smoke it? What
I
do you do?
Smoked some of it, and most of it I canned raw, and you just cut it up into big chunks after, and mm-hmm. you can leave the bones in, but the bones get really, really soft and mushy, and I didn't like that, so I would...
Oh, see, I love those mushy bones in salmon.
I always just thought they were
eat them.
Horrible.
Yeah, I love it.
Yes, and I'm sure there's a lot of good protein and whatnot in those, but I didn't like them. But I did leave the skin on, but I would always make sure when I packed the salmon into the wide mouth jar, mm-hmm. because that's the way that it's easiest, I would always make sure the skin was facing inwards, because it just presents itself a lot better than to have that skin showing on the outside.
I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yes, and I would always use a brine with the pickling salt and a little bit of white vinegar, and mm-hmm. because I'm a crazy person for garlic, I would always use garlic in mine too.
Good. Yeah, you like spicy food, I can tell.
Yes, spicy.
So, all right, so let's fast forward, and now we're on Vashon. And some years ago, Lori, how long ago did you start canning with Christy?
We're trying to figure it out, and we think it's about 22 years that we've been doing it.
And do you get together?
Give or take 2 years.
Yeah. Is it a season of canning, or is it a day or two?
It's
or
usually
how do you,
just a day.
It's mm-hmm. just a day of canning.
But it's a whole day. It's a long day.
Yeah. And so I think it's fascinating that for 22 years, give or take, you've been canning together this very same recipe. And I just think it's wonderful.
We like it.
You do like it. And it is apple chutney, which I'm sure you're going to share your recipe, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Thank you.
We brought the cookbook.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Actually, Lori will eventually share that recipe.
Okay.
She's got it.
And so I think, let me ask you this. How did you start? Why did you think of chutney and canning together?
We both really love Indian food,
mm-hmm.
and we got that from our mom.
Oh,
she was
okay.
always cooking Indian food, and we always had chutney with it. And
yes,
I guess we just were sitting around thinking maybe we ought to make our own chutney.
Yes, it would be less expensive in the long run.
Yeah,
and it's really a lot of fun.
And this
to can
time of
chutney.
Year, you can get so many peppers, fresh peppers around
and
here,
apples.
And apples. So it just seemed like. The recipe that we should try. We just happened upon this recipe and we loved it and have used it ever since.
Yes.
And you have you modified it at all?
You put more garlic in it.
Always
garlic.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the Indian thing, because your mom lived overseas. You guys were army brats.
Yes.
Yeah. And when you lived overseas, Your mom fell in love with Indian food, right?
Yes. Dad was stationed on Okinawa and in the 60s, in the mid, or actually late 60s. And they were able to go to India a couple times. And mom just fell in love with the cuisine there. And she was quite the gourmet cook, and she liked to experiment with international cooking. So she started off making chutney, and most of our friends had never eaten, East Indian food. So mom and dad used to throw big dinner parties, and we'd have chicken curry with all the different condiments, the peanuts and bananas and green onions. Chutney, of course. Yes, yeah, so just trickle down from there.
It's kind of morphed.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about, where do you find your apples on Vashon? Do you pick them? Are they given to you? Do you buy them?
We've done it several different ways. We have a friend that lives on the north end that has a little apple orchard.
And
a couple years we went there and, you know, just scavenged.
Do you use different kinds of apples? Yeah. Does it matter?
Doesn't really matter too much.
We like them tartar, though, than the sweet ones. And they seem to be firmer, and they don't seem to bruise as easily. And the peppers we buy
at, you know, local, like the farmer's market. This last time we made it, since I'm over in Port Orchard, we did some shopping over there.
Well, you know, there are just so many apples on Vashon. I just think it's a wonderful thing
that
to do.
The deer don't eat.
And I saw your jar of chutney, and it's a very colorful chutney. It's got some red in it and some green in it.
Raisins.
It's beautiful, and some raisins
lots
and
of
apples.
Raisins.
Yeah,
it's delicious.
That'll be good. Let's talk a little bit about the whole process that you have to go through to do it. So let's pretend you've already got the apples, however you got them. What has to happen to make this chutney?
Lots of chopping.
Well,
cutting up.
We have an apple corer little gizmo peeler thing, but I think we need a new one, Lori.
Before
it's
next year,
getting
we need
really
a new one.
Old, and I was doing the peeling and the coring with it this year, and it seems to core okay, but the peeling was a different story.
Might be time for a new investment.
We kind of split the jobs.
Yeah,
one of us does the apples, and one of us cuts up the peppers and ginger and garlic.
Lots of fresh ginger and tons of garlic, and then lemons, whole lemons chopped up go into that too. And so we're measuring out the sugar and all the stuff.
Do you do it in batches, or do you do,
one time, we're quadrupling it now.
How big is your kettle?
Huge.
Well, let's see. You can't see
10 gallon.
No, I can't see how big that is.
Bigger than a bread box.
Bigger than a bread box.
Pretty big.
So you. Yeah. So this,
it's enough that when we can it, it's about 30 pints.
Okay. So
and we bought 40 apples this year, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yes. And I think we didn't use maybe 10 of them because they were larger apples, but it's full. I mean, we leave enough room so it doesn't boil over. But it's a lot of chutney.
Does your house smell good while you're doing
it?
It
smells so great. You really got to watch it so it doesn't scorch. There's a lot of brown sugar in it. So we kind of have to hover over it.
And are you putting turmeric and cardamom in it? Or are you doing... No, you're doing garlic and peppers and ginger and...
Yes.
Salt.
And
red peppers.
Oh, yes.
Red pepper flakes.
And whole lemons chopped up.
Whole lemons.
Yes, Lori has the recipe here.
What are we forgetting here? Anything?
Oh, probably, but we'll get it later.
Yeah. Okay.
What kind of safety measures do you take at home when you're doing this?
We have to sanitize the jars. You have to wash, make sure your pint jars or half pint jars are clean. So we wash them usually in the dishwasher.
Yeah, I've heard that the dishwasher's fine.
It gets hot. We keep them in there.
We do.
Keep them hot.
We do have to buy new lids every year because once they're sealed, they're not good for sealing again.
Rings. Jars to make sure that there are no chips or
no chips in there, because that's where the microbes like to go, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, you know, it's really, canning is experiencing a comeback now, and people in their kitchens are doing a lot of it. Hasn't always been that way, you know, and canning actually was invented, or the process was found, because Napoleon was tired of nasty food when he was out conquering the world.
Interesting.
Yeah, and he made a deal for anyone who's French. He would offer them 12,000 francs if they would invent a way to preserve the food for his soldiers mm-hmm. because their food was awful. So in 18...
French food was awful? Really?
Well, the soldiers, you know, they're out on the run and they're eating... They're eating... Basically, yes. They were eating hardtack mm-hmm. and dried beef. Mm-hmm. And then they'd run out of that. And mm-hmm. sometimes they would get... what am I trying to say? Sometimes they'd get hardtack, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and sometimes they'd get dairy products, mm-hmm. but yep. mostly it was pretty awful. Mm-hmm. So the guy that invented this and that won the 12,000 francs was Nicolas Appert, was the developer of the canning process, uh-huh. and he just experimented and made Napoleon a very happy man.
I'll bet.
And then after that, you know, there was a lot of, how are we going to can this? What are we going to put it in?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they put it, back then, they used glass jars, any glass jar, and they put either fat on top of it, like we would call confit mm-hmm. today, mm-hmm. or they would seal it with sealing wax.
Wow. That's quite
the
process.
You wonder how long it lasted.
I don't know. It would be really interesting. But it was a way of preserving food, you know, just to preserve it in the fat mm-hmm. was one thing. And then I was surprised when I started looking around at all the different kinds of canning jars there are.
Yes.
And it's highly advised you don't use anything but canning jars. Mm-hmm. Like, don't use your old mayonnaise jar, your old pickle jar.
No.
That kind of thing. Yeah.
Unless it's something, never mind.
That was a whole different subject.
Never mind.
We'll come back to that, too. Okay. So, have you ever used the jars that have the little wire clamp on the top? It's a glass lid.
No.
That was one of the first ones that they used. They were called lightning jars. And they became popular because no metal, which could rust, they used to use the metal screw
mm-hmm.
lids.
Mm-hmm.
And then they invented the glass top ones because the metal would rust and spoil the food. So there's been a whole evolution of canning mm-hmm. jars. And they call it strong shoulder jars. It's an Atlas jar. Mm-hmm. You said you use ball jars mostly or Kerr?
Kerr. Yeah. Either one.
Well, poor Mr. Ball, you know.
He's an Indiana guy.
Yeah.
He is an Indiana guy.
Yep.
Actually, Buffalo, New York, it was William and his brother who were in the business of manufacturing wood jacketed tin cans.
Hmm.
And that's how they did canned food back then. And so then he invented another jar in Muncie, Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've got family in Muncie, or we had family in Muncie, Indiana.
And then, today, the Ball Corporation owned and operated a lot of other plants, but it no longer makes jars.
Hmm.
There are Ball jars out there, but they're not made by Ball. They're made by an Altrista Corporation, mm-hmm. and they manufacture almost all the jars that are out there now.
Interesting.
Which I think is really interesting.
Yes.
I didn't know that. Yes. I had no idea
And
about
you mentioned
that.
Something before we went on live about the old lead. Leaded rings, or they sealed the jars with lead.
England. They did that. They used lead solder mm-hmm. to seal the jars.
Not a good idea.
And there's a jar monopoly now. We should protest that, I guess.
But I love it.
I was really interested in the fact that you said be sure to use a wide mouth pint jar
mm-hmm.
because that's really important to get the food into the jar.
Yes.
In the olden days, before mm-hmm. they had the wide mouth jars, they used a jar that looks a lot like a milk jug, like those little quart milk jugs that they used mm-hmm. to use. And you had to literally stuff
Very
the
difficult.
Pieces in there.
Yes.
You know, so we have mm-hmm. it a lot easier now than they used to have mm-hmm. for sure. And I'm wondering about dilly beans, because I know you did that too.
Oh, I used to love to can dilly beans. I haven't done it for a while.
What did you love about it?
Just they had so much flavor, and they were just...
You need to do that again.
I know, I do. I really do. We should start doing that in
the fall,
too.
Well, maybe you should do that.
Yes.
You should have an apple day and a
bean
day.
And a dilly bean day. Mm-hmm. Yes, I just always put in more dill. You're usually mm-hmm. supposed to just put in one head of dill. I always put in two. And two cloves of garlic, and I would put maybe six in, and one dried chili,
better.
And I would put three in, that sort of thing. I just think the more of that stuff, the more flavor mm-hmm. they gave. And honestly, I cannot find dilly beans that I like as well as the ones that I used to make.
Oh, I think then maybe you better make some.
Really good in Bloody Marys.
Oh, they're, yeah. Anyway, and just so delicious.
Does everybody know what a dilly bean is? Do people know what dilly beans are?
They're spicy, kind of sour dilly beans, and they're crunchy.
And how do you eat them? How do you use them?
You can use them just on a platter for an hors d'oeuvre mm-hmm. with cheeses and stuff, mm-hmm. but mostly they're good in Bloody Marys.
Oh, yes.
And that's where you see them, and you see the marinated asparagus a lot, but that's important also with to use wide mouth with the dilly beans because you can fit a lot more in there. And if you lie the jar slightly on its on the side in your hand, then you put the dill down in there first, and
then you
can stack the beans on top of each other, just so long as you still have about a half inch from the very top. So. Mm-hmm. Works really well.
I bet they're really pretty too. It's really gratifying mm-hmm. to see a bunch of things that you've put up and see them on the mm-hmm. shelves.
Yeah, I love them. I love to look at that.
Yes, and as far as the beans too, if you can find recipes online, but if you blanch the beans very quickly in boiling water and then dip them into cold water before you put them in the jar, they will appear greener
once they're canned,
and they won't get that kind of grayish. Look that a lot of canned beans get.
Aren't very pretty.
They'll be prettier that way.
That's nice to know. Mm-hmm. So if you were to advise somebody who's just starting out canning, like really doesn't have any experience doing it, do you have any advice about maybe what to can or what to look for or how to figure out how to do it?
I think jam is the place to start.
Yeah.
You can't
or chutney.
It's really kind of hard.
You better take this show on the road.
Hard to ruin chutney.
it's really pretty easy.
You really don't need that much equipment either. You know, you need a big canner mm-hmm. and you need a gripper thing for taking them out, and
the rack to go inside the canner, which comes with it.
The first time I made jam,
pretty basic.
I used tongs.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. to get the jars out.
That's really hard. That's a big mistake.
Yeah,
I almost
disaster.
Burned.
You drop it into the hot water, and then it mm-hmm. splashes at
and it's
you.
Awful.
It's trippy.
So I think making sure that your jars are clean, and new, mm-hmm. preferably,
mm-hmm.
And that you follow all of the directions. I think there's a USDA site.
Mm-hmm, that you can go into online. You can find so much online these days. One thing that is important, once you fill the jar with what you're canning, you have to make sure that you take a wet rag and wipe the rim off before you put the lid.
Yeah, we kind of always have an assembly line.
And the rings on, because if there's any little, say a little mustard seed, if you're canning dilly beans or something like that, or anything gets on that rim, it's not going to seal properly. And then, of course, you want to make sure that you have at least an inch of water in your water bath or in your pressure canner over the jars so that they'll seal. Then when you get them out, you set them on the counter and you don't touch them once they come out of the canner for a while. And then you'll hear the little pop, pop, mm-hmm. pop, where
and
they
that's
start
such a
sealing.
Satisfying.
Isn't that a nice sound?
Yay, another one.
Yes, it's a wonderful sound.
Every single jar sealed.
And you can tell if it hasn't sealed afterwards. You'll see the lid is domed up a little bit and it's not kind of sucked down.
Yeah, it's not solid.
Yes.
It bends.
Yes.
We always have kind of an assembly line when we're doing it. One of us will be filling the jars and then passing them over, and then other person will wipe the rims and place the lids and the rings. And
when one of us gets tired of one job, like taking them out of the hot bath.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're shrinking because we're getting older, but it just seems to be a
like
lot
reaching
harder
up
to
over
reach
the top.
Into that can. Or your stove is taller than
maybe.
Yeah, her stove grew. I'm pretty
sure that's what we're not shrinking.
Just a little bit.
Not yet. Well, there are lots of interesting items on the web about how to can.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the really good ones is the USDA's Complete Guide to Home Canning. And I can't read what that website is. Let's see. It's nifa.usda.gov. Mm-hmm. And then you can hit the canning tab.
All right.
So that will give you some good information. Mm-hmm. And I also wanted to know if you've ever had any disasters in the kitchen. Canning, did anything ever happen that was either hilarious
or explosions or anything?
Well, I haven't really with canning, and I think that's one of the reasons. The one disaster I've had was with a pressure cooker.
Oh,
it was
geez.
Not with a pressure canner.
Yeah.
And I'm so old school, I'm always using the water bath for canning. And I think I'm just a little bit wary of the pressure canners, but I know that they've really, really changed a lot in the last few years. And I'm sure they're very safe, but you do have to really follow the instructions.
I don't think we've ever had anything rot on us or... We've opened up anything, it was been moldy.
The only thing that we've ever had is maybe one or two jars haven't sealed. And then all you do is you just put it in the refrigerator and you eat it sooner than
you eat it now.
Yes.
So, Christy, tell me a little bit about what you learned when you were looking up why we want to be safe when we can.
Well, I was kind of surprised by how direct this was, but I was looking up canning salmon because I hadn't done it for a while. And it was talking about botulism, the dangers of canning and having something with botulism. And it said, botulism is not any fun. Your lips get tingly and then you die shortly after.
I just didn't know it was that fast.
Yes, I mean, I didn't know either.
That's something you hear a lot about anymore.
No,
you don't. Because everybody's careful.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
I hope. So we're just about out of time here, and I'm going to switch gears just a little bit for a second.
Ready?
Tell me one interesting thing that's in your refrigerator now that might surprise me.
A whole bunch of sippy cups. My granddaughter's,
oh,
2-year-old granddaughter's here. Whole milk, which I don't drink.
Yeah.
As far as anything strange, I know I'll think of it afterwards.
I know some people have some really interesting things in their refrigerator.
Yeah, probably just the weird condiment type thing that I've got tucked down inside the door.
I have some homemade mayonnaise that a friend brought over.
Oh, interesting.
It's so good. I don't know what she put in it, but it's delicious.
And something you have to be careful with, too, if you're canning mayonnaise.
Yeah. Well, it's mayonnaise and mustard.
And it's probably not canned, is it?
It was, but it's in the refrigerator.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Better
get the recipe.
You should get the recipe. See, you guys can go into your own canning business now.
Can some mustard and chutney.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah. We should do that. Think about it.
And what about, you had mayonnaise. What else is in there?
I can't think of. Well, the last time Christy came over, we got on kind of a wild spree and cleaned out my refrigerator.
At 11:30 at night. Yes.
So
it
I don't
was
really
crazy.
Have anything too unusual.
I was
right
like,
now.
Lori, why do you have this? This is 2 years old.
Oh, that's
and
so funny. I
there's
love
a lot,
the sister
there's
act.
A lot of
not
moldy
have
things.
To be refrigerated, Lorelai. Yeah.
But you know, nobody can say that but a sister.
There were were some kind of moldy things in there. So.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are in mine too. You need to come over and help me clean it up.
Well, we can do that. I'll help you.
Yay,
I'll come over. Okay. Yeah. Ladies, thank you so much for coming to see me today. It was really fun to have you, and I hope
it's great
that,
to be here.
We'll do it again another time.
Okay. Sounds
thank
fun.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
I'll see everybody next week, I guess. I hope.
I'll be listening.
I hope you will. And for my listeners, our listeners again, please email me at stirringthepot@voiceofvashon.org. And I promise I will answer you. Thank you for tuning in. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.